Kurt Apsey, though, joins us every Thursday at 5 here on Sports Radio The Ticket. And Kurt, a season opener, a successful debut at home for 2016 with a Power 5 Pac-12 win. That's all on the positive side of this. But Prater and I were ad-libbing that, you know, you see a lot of people on your home opener, and maybe you got a lot of feedback from folks on kickoffs and all that, and that's what made you perhaps on Monday at your luncheon sort of talk about that. What can you add to perhaps your perspective on these late-night kickoffs and the fans?
Well, first of all, I'm a little disappointed I'm not down there seeing all that food surrounding your table. I'm sure it's piled up in front there like it was last time.
They're empties, man.
It's all gone.
We've gone through.
It's gone.
Just don't even add finger steaks, Monte Cristos. It's just, it's ugly.
Yeah. Well, hey, the tone from, you know, some of our fans hasn't changed. That certainly is not why I came out and said that. I actually got that question asked to me on Monday after the luncheon. And
okay.
You know, I'm not changing. I think one of the things that was mentioned in there that I've changed my tune from 3 or 4 months ago, and that really isn't true. I was just trying to make a point that, you know, I certainly understand their frustration, and, you know, I walked in my house at 1:45 on Sunday morning after that game, and I completely understand how, you know, hard that is on some people and some folks to stay up and watch the Broncos, and I feel their pain, and we definitely share our concerns with the conference and ESPN and whoever else is involved in that decision-making process. But, you know, for now, it is what it is, and it's the contract that we have through our conference with ESPN. And Boise State just happens to be, you know, very attractive for that time spot, that time slot. And, you know, for now, there's not much we can do. But like I said on Monday, you know, I'm going to do my best to try and get earlier times and have those conversations each and every week and before every season, and I'll continue to do that. And, you know, I can't promise anybody anything, but like I said on Monday, I'm going to do my best to try and get some earlier kick times. But at the end of the day, you know, I can't make any promises. I can just, you know, let our fans know that I'll certainly try and do that as much as possible.
Kurt, while you say you kind of said the same thing in both those statements, the one in the summer and the one on Monday, the tone did change a little bit. And in the summer you said, you know, you guys have to embrace this because this is who we are. Now you're saying you need to fight back a little bit. So I'm assuming, I mean, is the rumblings getting just a little bit louder to the point where you feel like you have to go back to conference meetings and be a little bit more boisterous?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when I say embrace it, Mike, when I mean we have to embrace it, that means we really don't have, you know, much of a choice. And, you know, I think one of our games later this year is on a Friday on ESPN against UNLV, and right now it's scheduled for 7 o'clock. So not that we play every game, but I can't remember the last time, but I think this is right. The last game we played in the day was in 2013 against Tennessee Martin, and that's the last time we didn't play a game on national television. I don't know if that's all the way right, but I think if I remember right, that's correct. And, mm-hmm. You know, there's power to that national audience. There's no doubt about that. And when I say we have to embrace it, you know, if the game's at 8:30, we have to try and embrace that. And if it's 7 o'clock, we have to embrace that. There's just some things that, you know, we don't control, but that still doesn't mean that, you know, we need our fans there and we want them to come out and support our team. And, but on the other side of that, I can say, you know, without hesitation that I'm as frustrated as everybody else. We don't like playing those late night games. And, you know, but for now, the contract with the conference and our agreement when we rejoin the Mountain West is pretty much set in stone. That certainly doesn't mean that I'm not going to pick up the phone every chance I get and try to talk to the folks to see if there's some other options for us, and I'll certainly continue to do that.
Kurt Apsey, Boise State's athletic director, joins us as we Ask the AD on Thursdays at 5. You can hashtag Ask the AD on Twitter or go to the Commercial Tower text line at 424-9300 now.
Kurt, if you say you're going to go back and you know, take your shots at being a little bit more boisterous, but at the end of the day there's not much that can be done, what could be the one compromise? Is there maybe a early season game, non-conference game, UT
right.
Martin or Idaho State, where you can maybe beg, let's have that at 1:30 in Boise, Idaho. Please leave that one game alone. What are the small list of options on the table?
Well, you know, I think some of the options could possibly be, Mike, not playing on a traditional night. I didn't think about that before, but when you asked the question, you know, we've played games on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. We've played games on Sunday. Not that that's ideal for us in any way, but, you know, that's certainly something that maybe we can talk about. And that obviously is based on what you have around that. What do you play the week before and then what do you play the week after? We've done that in the past. Very similar, I think, what the MAC is doing now. I think they still play on those Wednesday and Thursday nights. And, you know, that might be an option. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got to find that balance. And you want to make sure that you're trying to take care of the fans and everybody that supports you. But at the same time, you know, that's an unbelievable opportunity for us to be in front of a national TV audience. It is very powerful in recruiting, especially in the West, because it's on prime time there. And as you guys know, over the last 10 years, I mean, I don't think anybody can question ESPN's involvement with Boise State football has completely changed our program. And I feel like we've had a role in the transformation of our campus too because of it. And so we have to weigh both of those things, and neither one sometimes is good for our fans. And I realize that. And when I made the comments on Monday, it was a little bit of frustration on my part because I am frustrated by the late kicks, and I do get it when people are calling and writing and emailing and, you know, saying please change this. And all I can tell people and our fans is that I'll do my best to try and change that, and we'll make requests every time we can, and we talk a lot about that before the season starts. And you know, we've got the Colorado State game coming up that hasn't been given the time yet. We're going to find out about Utah State on Monday, and we've made our comments about that and shared our concerns with the people that have control over that, and hopefully they can help us out.
Kurt, as it relates to, like, the CBS Sports Network games, is there any reason why those games would have to be played at 8, 8:15, or 8:30?
Only if they choose to, Jeff. You know, there's a certain amount of games that CBS and ESPN gets with us. I believe it's 24 or something like that. And, mm-hmm. You know, if you take the 24 games from ESPN, well, we play half of our games on ESPN. So we're 25% of that inventory right now. And that's a good thing for us in terms of that broadcast wanting us in front of a national TV audience. And you know, we're very fortunate and lucky that they want us to do that. But at the same time, CBS, you know, has played earlier games with us, and that is certainly a possibility going forward.
Kurt, you said you were frustrated on Monday and frustrated by the late times and getting home at 1:45 and knowing that fans were all there. But you also had the season ticket sale cut off, and that had to be a little bit humbling in terms of 19.5, a 10-year low. You peaked at a high of 24 and change in 2012. If you do a little Prater math and say 5,000 season tickets down times, I don't know, an average of 500, that's $2.5 million. That's going to make anybody crabby.
That's part of the frustration, Mike. You know, I think that number probably is a little high, only because our average season ticket price is probably somewhere in the 265 range, 250 range. But still, that doesn't change a big number. And you know, as you guys know, ticket revenue for us is a huge resource for our department. It helps us go. And when ticket sales are down like that, that just adds to the frustration. And so we've got to take that into account. We're trying to figure out some ways that we can hopefully help ticket buyers out next year. Maybe that's giving some different price points and dealing with those game times and all those things that we've got to consider going into that. But you're right. I mean, that's a financial hit that is really, really hard for us to recover from. And we've got to take that into account going forward. And like I said, we'll voice our concerns as much as we can, but when we rejoin this conference, you know, we signed a contract that gave the ability to ESPN to dictate when we play and what time we play. And it doesn't go without saying that I wouldn't say we're complaining about it, but we certainly step up and say, you know, if there's anything you can do, even if it's just once or twice a year to try to get us some earlier games in a better slot, you know, please consider that for us because, you know, we're hearing it from our fans. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we're not the only people singing this song. I mean, there's a lot of schools across the country that are frustrated with it, and I'm sure they're sharing the same feelings and facing the same challenges that we have here at Boise State.
Kurt, let's get back to the whole idea about the crowds in the second half with a close game against a compelling opponent. I know it was a late kickoff. Everybody monitors, per se, how many stay in the stands. As you've discussed before, but until you can address a better concession and a better restroom opportunity for the east side of Albertson Stadium. A re-entry policy change is probably not in the cards. Is there any ballpark number on what it would cost to address the restrooms and or the concessions, Kurt, on the east side?
Yeah, we've looked at it in the past. In fact, I think we've had this conversation before. Maybe it wasn't on this show, but you know, one of the things that we would certainly consider going forward is a reentry policy, and that's very, very common across the country. We're one of the few schools that actually doesn't have it. And so what we do realize, though, is that if we ever would go down that road, that we've got to make sure that we're providing the amenities inside our stadium that take care of those people, you know, if they can't leave or if they're not able to come back in. And right now on the east side, as you know, that's not the case. So we've estimated that to be anywhere between probably 7 to 10 to 12 to 15 million bucks, depending on what we do. The good thing, the positive thing about that, Jeff, is that, you know, we could probably change seating over there. We could add some seating at the top similar to what we did on the other side. And that's good for us because when we're going through a construction progress like that, or construction project like that, you know, we've actually got a way to make some revenue to help pay for that. And so that's something that we're talking about right now. Not so much for the reentry policy, although that may be a part of the conversation going forward, but we just need to do it. I mean, that place has been the same for, you know, as long as I've been here and many more years after that. So it's something we know we have to address. But I think it is something that we can tackle, and we've got drawings and, you know, things that we've looked at and all the possibilities that we could do over there in terms of adding some seats, maybe some additional premium seating where, you know, we can generate the kind of revenue to help pay for a project like that.
When you talk about premium, you mean loge boxes, club seats, or some other kind of variety?
I think any or all. You know, I'm not sure we'd actually build something as big as the Stickle on the other side, but I think we've got to look at all that kind of stuff. I would look at maybe, you know, some stadium club seats. We'd probably look at some loges. And what my point is in all that is if we do redo that side over there, I think it would be smart for us to consider, you know, additional seating or maybe some premium seating over there, because that will help us pay for whatever project it is we choose to do going forward.
Kurt, thank you so much for your time. I know, very busy day for you. The fans always appreciate the openness, and we do as well. Thanks for coming aboard.
All right, Thomas. Thanks for having me. Have a great evening.